Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. Had lunch on the 13th floor this fine day. That was a first for me. What of you, huh?
Well, I found out about that the week that you were out. I love the view, but the disappointing news is they're just there temporarily. Then they're going to move downstairs in the cafe. I wish we could talk them into just staying there.
I know. It is a great view of the city.
But we got our lunch. We got reinvigorated. This is going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Vice Chairman and Founder with Student Bridge, Mr. Jonathan Clues. How are you, man?
Hey, good afternoon. Good. Thank you very much.
Student Bridge, you want to share a little bit about what you guys are up to?
We are a digital marketing agency that specializes in helping universities and colleges recruit students.
Recruit students.
That's right. So, world of recruitment.
So is that a challenge for universities?
Yeah, absolutely. There's about 4,350 physical universities, several million potential students. And as you can imagine, there's some good ones and not so good ones. And there's a reduction in state funding. So the universities are having to putting a lot of that net tuition money, that their costs are going up. And so it's about between $5 and $10 billion a year spent on recruiting students in the USA.
Wow, I didn't realize that. My kid just starting college this year. So he got a bunch of postcards and stuff from different schools. But is that how they typically do it, I guess?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a late bloomer, so my child's not looking at colleges yet. But she soon will be, I'm sure. But as you've probably noticed, the postcards that come through the door aren't particularly well targeted.
Right.
And so there's it's basically a shotgun effect to marketing. They just buy names, and the same school up the road buys the same names. And there's a very little amount of filtering and shaping of what they call the talent pool. And then it just starts into heavy banging them over the head till they come and see us.
How is your offering different?
So what we do, it's our belief that the student recruitment, like any large emotional purchase that any human goes through, whether it be a car, a house, a boat, a vacation, you do a lot of research for data, but then it's the actual emotion of a place that actually makes you buy it. Mm-hmm. And so one of our philosophies is that humans decide intelligently but buy emotionally. So, is it a daughter or son?
A son.
Okay, your son, he would have looked at the two big data questions are, can I get in? Can right. I afford it? They're the kind of two big data decisions. And there's a lot of sites out there that will help them answer that data decision because they know the tuition fees and then he can work out whether there's a scholarship or something. But also the GPA average and everything, you can get a scattergram and show you whether it's a reach school or a safety school. And right. he'll start selecting a short list of universities to go and visit in person. Well, the average American student now, with the times changing with the internet, there's something called the Common App that can help them apply to 20 universities. Now, right. that's not the average, but let's say the average is 10. Well, the average student now is applying to 10 universities. And that's when they can start at least knowing that it's not just blindly throwing catalogs through the mail and postcards through the mail. There's some interest. But at 10, there's no real sentiment to buy. So what we say is that this is all part of the data collection. It's the in-person visit. They only visit 3 on average, so not sure how many he visited, but 93% of American students visit the university they end up going to. So it's a really good indicator that you're going to end up going to that university. So what we look to do is drive the internet user when you're looking at maybe 30 universities online, researching about 30, applying to maybe up to 10, but you're only visiting 3. So our job at Student Bridge is to help the universities tell their story.
And to get them there on campus.
That's right. I mean, it's all about driving in campus visits for us. Mm-hmm. And because most universities we speak to, if not all, will say, if we get them to our campus, we'll sign them. Mm-hmm. And of course, the truth is that they got a 1 in 3 chance of signing them.
but, you don't want to lead with that.
Yeah, we don't lead with that.
No. Well, actually, we kind of do bring it up because you've got to believe in your product. So they believe in that. That's a great sentiment from the Office of Enrollment right. that we're really proud of where we work. And so they always have a belief. And look, I walk around many different universities and there's some that are less desirable than others. But they all have a place in the marketplace. And that's what they call shaping the talent pool. So if you know you've got a star athlete and you don't have an athletic program, don't bother recruiting to them. And likewise, if you have an engineering major, someone that's really into robotics, and you don't have a good engineering program, don't recruit to them. And so it's really about defining what they call shaping the talent pool, like I've mentioned, which is really trying to get the right stories across on the internet to drive the right sentiment to buy as they come in person. Because traveling's not free, and traveling's expensive for the student and then the parents when they go and visit, whether it be plane, train, automobile, but also for the university, going through hundreds and actually thousands of the wrong applications is also very time consuming. So it's a matter of making the whole system more efficient. And let's not forget, at 15, 16, 17 years old, this is probably a $200,000 decision. NYU's now $350,000 for 4 years.
Right.
So, you know, it's not a small, quick decision you make in 2 seconds on your cell phone on Facebook.
Right.
It's journey.
It's not a swipe left.
There's not much swiping left and right going on in this industry.
So is it a consulting engagement in some respects? What happens early on in the relationship with a university as you start to work with them? What are some of the early steps in an engagement or working with you guys?
I think that's one of the benefits of being around for several years in the industry and really specializing in this industry. It's helped us work out as a macro level, like any business, when you specialize in an industry, it gives you the ability to kind of walk on property and immediately start spotting some good things and some less good things. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times we speak to a university that says, this is really unique about us. And we're like, oh, no, it's not. But they haven't had the opportunity.
It's unique to you.
That's right.
Because you don't go to universities like I do.
Yeah, and exactly. And so what happens is by default, through experience and subject matter expertise, we become consultants. So
right.
Universities will look at us and say, you actually help us define ourselves in the eye of the student, because when you're so close to the woods, you can't see the trees.
Right.
And so they're there saying, this is unique and this isn't unique. And we can go, wait a minute. We've spoken, literally, something I'm trying to prove out right now, I believe there's a chance we're the largest producer of online video in the world. We produce thousands of videos a year, and we've been doing it for 15 years. So when you really add it all up, how many videos we created, I don't think there's many people that have made more video than us.
Sure.
And of course, we're doing it in-house. That's the big difference. So we're not using these collection of consultants and contractors that send us content. The same people that make the videos for Louisiana State University also went to Boston University to go and film there, also went to Kuiper College, a 200-person faith-based school. And so they're getting a good feel of what all these unique personas of these different campuses. And that's that emotional side. So going back to that statement that humans decide intelligently but buy emotionally, my point to that was that your son will look at three universities and go and visit. And it could be, are the girls good looking? I hate to be that crass, but we hear that quite a lot from male students. Okay?
There's a marketing tip for you.
So you better show that in that video.
But is it a party school? So is it rural? Is it, you know, there's different different boats for different folks. And so
Sure. It's
not to say, and that's again, going back to that shaping the talent pool, it's about the university understanding what they really offer society and that student. And us giving them the outsider's view on a macro level, saying, hey, position yourself like this is truly your wish to grow an enrollment in this diversity or this in this particular state or county or to this kind of person. Let's help shape your messages so it attracts the right person to come and visit on campus, because you do have a high chance of converting them when they're on campus. And in fact, the two biggest issues in the industry are enrollment and then retention. And a lot of people don't think of retention, but 20% of students don't even get out of their first year.
Really?
They move. It's huge.
Wow, that's a big number.
And imagine that. Imagine the cost of that, the expense from both sides. The child and the family are now having to start the whole search again. And the university technically has an empty seat. That missing revenue is difficult to fill.
Right.
You can look for transfer students. And of course, there's enough of it in the industry going on, but it's an expensive part. So you recruit them right in the first place, you've got a better chance than retaining. So that's kind of the student bridge ethos, is that this is not a one-stop flick left, swipe left, quick decision. This is a decision that's made over time. It's a decision with many influences. How can we help the student get a good feel for the right university so when they get in a car, plane, train, it's on their shortlist for the right reasons?
Now, so your client is the university,
yes,
right? Now, is there a person in the university that you work with? It's somebody in enrollment?
Obviously, the ones with the most vision.
Is it the campus president?
I mean, you'd think that, look, the lifeblood of any business, and universities are a business. They don't like to always label themselves that way. Lifeblood of any business is new business, and their customer is the student. So a university is gauged on its success, financial success, about recruiting the right students. The presidents don't really get involved with us. They will at some point. Office of Enrollment is definitely our client. They're mm-hmm. the people who lose their jobs if they don't hit enrollment numbers or don't convert into what they call the yield, which is when they've had X amount of applications, they only accept a percentage, and then it's their job then to convert that accepted into what they call enrolled deposited students. And so that's the people with the pain of the goal. Once we are in the Office of Enrollment, very typically they'll bring in their marketing communications department because that's like an internal agency that that they're busy. I mean, everyone in the university is busy. We have never met one university that says, hey, we've got nothing to do.
Meet us at the pool. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We've got nothing else going on. So what we do is usually talk to the enrollment office to understand their goals, where it's working, where it's not. And typically, like in any business, there's only two people you can really help. Those that have an increasing goal and they're not quite meeting it, or those that are in decay and don't want to decay. The people that want to be doing the same year as they were last year, status quo, we can't help them.
Sure.
So we're looking for the universities that are really looking to grow, and it could be growing a segment. So international recruitment right now is a big thing for the very reason they bring in great diversity, but also
paying full retail.
That's it. Right? They pay full retail. So it's these universities are fighting to survive. That people don't realize just how many universities are financially in facing a doomy, gloomy future unless they do something about it.
Now, when you're dealing with this person at the university, are they making a decision that they've been doing this in-house and they need some help, or they had been using another marketing firm and now they're going to move to you?
Well, so yes and no. to recount that, there's been occasions where they've tried to do it in-house. What we do at Student Bridge, we focus around engagement platforms. We've got two very specific engagement platforms, a video-centric one that uses video as the method of communication. And we've recently acquired a social media network called Campus Bubble, which acquired their platform, which is all about student-to-student, peer-to-peer communication, chat, kind of stuff. So yeah. The ability for us is to bring platforms in that they can't really effectively
do on their own. Yeah.
We've invested millions of dollars into our platform. And so while I hate to say everyone can make video, I mean, I can look around the desk here and we've got video recording devices.
Sure, every phone is a video.
They're not very good. They're good for YouTube and user-generated, and they're good for fun, but they're not great for a brand ambassador video.
Sure.
And universities know that. But there's also, you can walk down to Best Buy and buy a reasonable HD camera, and then you just have to train someone to push a red button and then you can record video. It doesn't mean it's going to be very good. And I think that one of the problems we always face is that video isn't created equal. And there's a reason why Steven Spielberg would charge you a lot more to make your virtual campus experience than we do, and why your nephew can do it a lot cheaper than we do. There's what we call production value. And one of the things that we've really pioneered in the 15 years we've been delivering video online, making thousands and thousands of videos, is the right flavor of video content. So you're aware, you know, you're in broadcast and media, production value. What I mean by that to the listeners that may not understand is that when you go to YouTube, you kind of expect a grainy, gritty experience. That's fine.
Right,
that's your expectation. If you went to the movie theater and watched it on the big jumbo screen and it was like that kind of production value, it would just feel odd. Feel awkward. Right. Likewise, you don't really want to watch the latest blockbuster on your mobile because the production value is too high for that device. And so you want to watch it on a big screen at home and immerse yourself in that content. And so we found this production value that is professionally produced but very authentic. So we only ever use real people. We only ever ask real questions, not scripted, trying to get key points out for that university. But it's the way we produce the content's really been one of our specialties. We didn't mean to do that. I would say that became just through trial and error and lots of experience. But a lot of universities now will use us because even though they have video production facilities in-house, A, they're busy. I mean, they're busy doing something else.
They can delegate it to the School of Video and Production that they probably have at each university.
Yeah, well, in fact, so it's interesting. I kind of have a I use a sales analogy or a kind of a scenario that when I talk to these clients about it, and they're all very proud of their dining facilities. And I say, have you got dining here? Oh, yeah, we've got the best dining. We've got 15 food choices in our food court. You can do this. I'm like, would you let them cater your wedding? And they all say no.
What, are you crazy?
Yeah. And I say, why not? You just told me how good they are. And they're like, well, it's just different. I said, well, that's kind of our point. I'm not saying your onboard video people aren't fantastic at day-to-day video, but when it comes to the marquee piece that you want to have a memorable experience, your wedding, or a video, a virtual campus experience.
Your campus.
That's right. You maybe don't use the people that are there day in, day out. You need to step away and use people that specialize.
Fresh eyes,
exactly. And so the video, so yes, they do try themselves, getting back to the question. But we would say that most people just go into status quo and just keep sending your son postcards. Which is crazy. And then the other part I would say is that when you say about marketing agency, we're seen as very specialist in what we do. So they will keep their existing marketing agency. We complement that.
Mm-hmm. So you work with marketing agencies then?
Well, typically they will work with their internal marketing department rather than an external marketing agency, but we have done both. It's just more typical you'd work with the university.
So how do you meet this enrollment person? You're just calling them up on the phone and saying, are you sending them videos?
Yeah, you should have a platform that they could go and see your videos.
Only we thought of that. We do, it's a lot of hard work. We have currently 7 account executives dialing and smiling and dialing for dollars.
Or are there trade shows where you can meet them all at once?
We go to trade shows as well. We do about 4 or 5 trade shows a year. There aren't actually many trade shows that really suit the whole office of enrollment decision makers. There'll be trade shows where they bring general recruiters in. Well, they're not really helpful for us, and they're great for intel, but they're not great for making a decision. So we really have to run the gamut. We do great shows like this. We have to do PR. We get our name out there. We luckily in the industry, I think we're getting. I asked one of my account executives at lunch last week, hey, when you're making these calls, how often now do you think that they say to you, I've heard of you? And he reckons it's as high as 40-50%.
He reckons?
Well, that's an English that's word. He believes.
No, reckons is a, I thought it was a Southern word.
Is it?
Is it not a Southern word?
Well, also some folks just east of Marietta, like, you know, London and so forth, they use that word as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was Southern. Sorry.
Oh, there you go. Well, I guess I was just trying to think. I was just thinking of something funny. But anyway. So he believes that it's 50%. And if you'd asked me that question a year and a half ago, I think it was down at 10%. So our brand recognition is really accelerating. We actually signed the most new deals of our history last month. And so that was a great month. It was eight new universities joined us, 5 re-upped, so that's 13. So things are definitely, the industry is kind of coming to us. I think that the answer is when your rivals have better weapons than you, you kind of have to gear up for that battle with a student or to attract the student. And so we're seeing that critical mass starting to happen, or at least the momentum.
So my youngest is in her second year at Georgia Southern.
Okay.
And so I'm sure she'll get postcards and the parents will get postcards. And I will say that they're trying to do a better job of catering, you know, to the parents and all that stuff. But in an ideal world, there would be some video dedicated to retaining her, right? And making us all feel good about the fact that she's still going there.
Well, first of all, luckily we live in an ideal world because Georgia Southern's one of our best clients.
All right.
So Georgia Southern's one of our best clients. In fact, they regularly, for not the largest school we have, regularly in our macro and our global traffic, get second or third highest traffic. They do so well marketing their virtual campus experience. The president got right behind it.
Nice.
They really do a good job at marketing it. And but on the retention side, I come from business as well as just higher education. Higher education is where we decided to land. But it's typically 7 times cheaper to retain a client than to get a new one.
Yeah.
But no real business ever follows that. I mean, so you can go around banging yourself on the head saying, come on, invest more in retention. The Bubble platform is a great example of giving them a controlled social media platform where students can talk, find out what's going on, find out user groups, join clubs, see activities. And even then, the adoption's been somewhat slow right now. And we're looking to change this because the university doesn't want to invest in someone to administer that or doesn't have someone to administer it. And you could argue that a good social media platform will administer itself. No one has to go out and administer Facebook. But there's a critical mass answer there. So yes, they should be doing more to retain, but reality is the problem is actually ahead of that in the funnel, which is the recruitment.
Got it.
When you figure out recruitment and get that fixed, I think they're not doing the bad thing in not putting a lot of focus into retention as much as they could do. I think they should be recruiting better in the first place, like recruiting for the wrong job.
Right.
I mean, just recruit better. And then when you've got that bit sorted out, move your attention to retention.
I'll tell you a tip for the university, since you have their ear, is as a parent whose kid is just now starting college, if I hear how smart the incoming freshman class is, that's meaningless to me. I want to know what the outgoing job prospects are of the graduates. Like, give me that number of how much they're making from the school that they graduated within that university is more relevant than how smart the incoming freshman class is.
Now, is that, to tally back at you, is that coming as a parent? Or
as
do you
parent.
Think your son's saying that?
No, as a parent. Well, I'm one of the buyers of the product.
So do you know that parents now look it up. I might be wrong, but I'm not totally wrong. It's either between 13th and 17th on the influencer list. That's how low it's dropped.
The parent?
Yeah, really low.
How about that? Wake up call
now,
for
me. But of course, I mean, what we have to look at in the world is that there's always the top 1%, the 2%, 3%. I'm sure when you're in the top 1%, your parents are very, very, very influential on you're going to Harvard and I'm paying for it. And so, you know, when we talk about the majority of America, do you know Georgia has the second worst graduation rates in all of America? It's terrible.
Graduation of high school or college?
High school to college. Huh. And so, you know, we've got some great local politicians that have been very excited about what we're doing to help Georgia universities start recruiting. But that has to start at the high school level. And vocationally, there's obviously a big question right now about, hey, what value do I put on a high school diploma? If I get a high school diploma, do I definitely come out and get a job that pays me more? Well, the answer is probably not. But I think that over time, there's still enough evidence that it does you a lot of good.
Do you have the ratio of how many people who start college graduate from college?
I don't. So if ever you try to look up government data, it's
not that easy.
Yeah, you can't.
It's hard to believe. Says whatever you want it to.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's not the clearest way to get it out. Obviously, there's different states' numbers as well. What I would say though about the vocational side is that there's edtech's great. It's a hot space right now. There's a lot going on.
Do you serve that market as well?
We're looking to. So we are talking to a company right now that is specializing in helping high school students. So your son make a decision about, hey, are you sure university is right for you?
Right.
And it's not, they're trying to my university clients, that's not a scare, because it's actually just making sure the student
it's a fit. You've been saying
that's
it
right.
since the beginning. It's the right fit, whether
right.
it's the right university or to a university at all.
That's it.
We recently interviewed somebody from Gwinnett Technical College, and they were talking about a welding program that they just got. But they work with a company, I think, called Deutz, that is a small engine manufacturer that donated all these engines so they can learn welding.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
A welder can make six figures.
Mm-hmm.
They have zero unemployment, welders.
Yes, I know.
In this space.
That's actually an example. I didn't know that exact Georgia Technical College. I didn't know that they were the ones doing it, but I knew
Gwinnett,
about welders,
Gwinnett,
plumbers,
Gwinnett Technical.
Gwinnett Technical.
Right.
Yeah, the vocates, there's some certain vocational that has a desperate need for skilled laborers and employees and people to come out.
But they're not, the high school don't lead with that as a path.
Nope. So one of the things that Student Bridge is looking to do, look, we're very happy with the way that we are empowering universities to tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
But we're scratching the surface. Right now, we're at 85 universities as our clients, the 4,350. So we've got 2%. And the chance of your son hitting one of our experiences is totally at 2%. Obviously.
Right.
We are looking at a way to interact much deeper into the high school level, to start creating value at the high school level, whether it be vocational, mm-hmm. whether it be scholarship and funding, whether it be university choice. And so hopefully you'll invite me back next year when we're ready to make that announcement. We're looking to announce it in December. We're working on it now.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to turn this industry on its head as far as for the good. We're not trying to disrupt it and become disruptors for the sake of disruption. We're looking to come and help these universities really get efficient with their recruitment. We're trying to help these students not make the wrong decisions that cost. Look, student debt. We are a funded company. We have a great private investor behind us, and he's introduced me to other colleagues in the industry. And one of their views was that student debt was going to be the next downfall for America, the American economy, and it'll be very discreet because the housing crash of 2008. Your neighbors had to put for sale signs, or they put boards on the doors. It was very obvious. Student debt's very discreet. And with the trillions of dollars of student debt sitting out there, is a real threat that it's going to become a real problem to the economy.
Right, and because that isn't student loans not, you can't get rid of them in a bankruptcy, right?
Yeah, I don't believe so. Luckily enough, I haven't been there. So
right, but that means they're on the hook for life.
Right, and so I believe that you're going to see some shaking up. Tuition's going up, and something else that we try and help the universities understand is your fees to run that facility, the cost to run that facility, to have the professor there, the lights on, the building air conditioned, is set. And they have a mindset where they have a cost per head, and they shouldn't really have that mindset. Their mindset is, well, look, our student acquisition cost is our total enrollment, this year's enrollment, but our cost divided by enrollment is our cost per head. But it's like, not, because your cost would really be the same if you had 100 less students or 100 more. At some point, it's net profit. At some point, it becomes very profitable to get that one extra student. And so,
but that's a business person mentality.
That's right.
You care about profit.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, but I want to be careful. I'm not, look, we have 2% of the market, and of that 2%, they've shown a lot of vision, a lot of forward thinking. They understand that there's problems coming. They understand they want to do something different. We're by far not the cheapest thing you can do. We don't want to be the cheapest thing you can do. We believe we're the best thing you can do. And best doesn't normally equal cheapest. And so our partners and clients have often come to us and said, what more can you do? How can we shape the future? So you could say that we should have 20% of the customers once they know more about us. But you know, we're starting to win the battle. And,
but can you share an example of success where they came in, you know, they were at X level with you, then you started working with you, and then they were able to see the
absolutely
return?
Yeah, we've got, I'll give you two different case studies. I won't give you the names, that's okay, but
what they rhyme with.
Okay, so one small private liberal arts college here in Atlanta, they did some changes to their website and then added our virtual campus experience, and they saw a 17% increase in international enrollment that year. And the only thing that changed was us, by the way. Sorry, 1 year they did the website, next year was us. And they saw a 17% increase, hugely paid for itself. Another large state, this is not another college, this one's opposite, a large state college did an international campaign. They sent out an email, dedicated email, to 300 and something international potential students. Not a big lot there, you know, right, a big there. Number. And they converted 63 of them into coming to clients.
Wow.
Huge.
You gotta be kidding.
They got between $9 and $14 million extra revenues from doing that one campaign. So
that should pay for you for a while then.
One campaign paid for us for 5 years.
Your ROI equation is just, it's ridiculous.
So our CEO, Chris, he's put an ROI calculator together that basically shows in a worst case scenario, it's 14-1.
Wow.
Man. Yeah.
And that, so is that the low-hanging fruit that you initially go after? Go, hey, let us go after some international?
No, in fact, so we've actually, Chris, our CEO, joined us about a year and a bit ago, brought some big company experience and kind of very data-driven. And before him, we had some other great people helping us as well. And all of them come in, it's been a bit of a head-scratching moment. We actually don't have the perfect shaped client identified, because we've got small colleges to big colleges, right, private to
public. And they
public.
Each have different needs.
And that's why that front end consulting and that being able to understand the personas that they're trying to serve, it's the, every engagement really is different.
Absolutely.
That's key.
Yeah. I mean, much like we say to the universities, you're as different and your students you're trying to recruit are different. They're all different to us. And I think that's been one of the students. We have a couple of people that do other virtual tours. They're all templates. And with us, there's no templating. It's come in, work out your unique story, and deliver a solution unique to you.
I got to know, what's your backstory? Before you got involved in this, did you like have a real job at some point in your career?
A real job. You will never guess it. I actually came to the States to be a professional race car driver back
wow.
in the 90s. So 94 to 99, I race cars over here, and then went back to the UK, which... despite my accent, I'm not from South Georgia. And I went back to the UK, and that's when the internet companies were started up in London. And in 04, I moved back to Atlanta and been in Atlanta ever since. So no, if you count racing cars a real job, I've had a real job. I think I worked 5 days in a cafe before they fired me, and that's about it.
But I bet it's not a terrible stretch, a terribly difficult stretch to draw some parallels from the world of racing, the disciplines that you had to exercise, and to your work now, I bet you some of that same mentality, some of those skill sets apply in both worlds, yeah?
I think so. I mean, as a racing driver, people think it's an individual sport. It's not a team sport. And no one ever thinks it's a team sport. And you can't pick your car up and run around with it. you need a team of people making sure it goes well. And so I'm very used to being in a high-pressure, competitive environment. I want to win. I'm fierce. But at the same time, you as a racing driver, you learn that you don't win everything. And the one thing you can't do is when you lose, throw your toys out the pram, which I've been told is an English saying. But you've got to take defeat as well. And so I've lost more than I've won, I hate to say. I mean, in my British Championship year, I won 9 out of 16 races. So I won more than I lost that year. But I definitely lost 7 races. And you have to just learn to get past it and move on. And in business, that's really, I think, served me very well. I think that I'm not shy of the camera or the radio, and I can get on with myself. But it's really about the self-belief that I believe would, I think that if someone forced me to go and sell insurance, I would fail. Our company does something I massively believe in. And because I believe in it so much, it becomes second nature. And when I was racing, I believed in it so much, it was second nature. So there's a lot of parallels. And also you have to build, as a driver, you build a team around you. And one of the things I'm trying to do in my company constantly is build a culture and a team around not just me, as the company itself, of the right people that want to see it through to the end.
Now, where do you get that adrenaline rush nowadays?
I'm married. Yeah, I would say the adrenaline rush. I'm an avid pilot. I like flying. So I've got my helicopter license, my plane license, and I keep learning there. So I've just got my instrument rating and keep going up that one. And that's it, really. I have
you don't race
one daughter.
Cars at all for fun?
No, I stayed after I hung my helmet up in 99. I did one comeback race at Road Atlanta, strangely, which I duly won, which is good. Volta Mitty, but otherwise done nothing else.
Good stuff. Well, if somebody wanted to learn more about Student Bridge, where should they go?
Well, www.studentbridge.com is a great place to go. We're based in Atlanta. We work nationally. And internationally, we've got one client in Rome, and we're looking to stretch. I like going on those trips, so if anyone's listening from around the world, let
Which
us know.
They are.
Yeah, exactly. And no, we'd love to hear from anyone that that feels that a good video experience can help drive more revenue for them.
So if you are in the enrollment office and you're frustrated by your enrollment, call Student Bridge.
That's it.
Good stuff.
Well, it's definitely been an adrenaline shot for me. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, man. This has been a lot of fun. All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our fearless producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.